we're pivoting now from talking about the community board meeting details to talking about a comedy show that's in Ragland this weekend, Banana Jolie's Confessions of an Aerobics Instructor. And on the line I've got, and actually, do you know what? I don't know what to call you. Do I call you Banana or Joe or Joanna?
That's an interesting question because I sometimes wonder what to call myself. My name's Joanna, and yeah, my stage name's Banana Jolie, so maybe call me Joanna.
All right, we'll go with Joanna. And yeah, so the show, folks, is a comedy show at 7:30 on the 12th and 6:30 on the 13th. So that's Saturday, Sunday at the Old School. Now, this last time you were here, you sold out really quickly. Are there actually any tickets left?
There are. So for Saturday, I checked this morning. For Saturday, there's about 8 tickets left. And for Sunday, there's about 22 tickets left. And I was kind of on the precipice of, because last year I ended up making an extra show earlier in the day because the first one sold out so quickly. And I'm kind of on the precipice of deciding whether that's the case or not. So if these ones fly out the door today and then there's still a bunch of people, maybe there's a waiting list on the booking system. So if people miss out and they jump on board the waiting list, I might be putting on an extra show on the Saturday. But at this stage, I don't know if I'll need to because it hasn't sold out yet.
Yeah, everyone's a little bit more hesitant at the moment with the whole Omicron thing.
I know, yeah.
Have you just come over from Australia?
So I was living, in Australia, and then I have moved back to New Zealand permanently now, which is really cool and exciting.
I was just wondering if you'd timed it right to get 2 Omicron peaks.
No. Okay. Fortunately, I miss the Australian peak. I got here in December, so I did manage to lap up that nice free little bit of summer that we had here in Aotearoa in December and January. And now I'm, doing what everyone else is doing, masking up and keeping safe.
So do you describe yourself as an Aussie or a Kiwi?
I'm Kiwi. I grew up in Whanganui, and then I moved to Australia when I was 19 and lived there training in dance and musical theatre and established my career there. And then I came back for a little bit to escape COVID in 2020, 21, and now I'm fully back here for good, ready to set down some roots.
So this is, the show's called Confessions of an Aerobics Instructor. You are actually an aerobics instructor?
Yeah. I started doing aerobics in the church hall with my mum when I was 11. And then that was like my side job while I was doing all my dance training and performing stuff. And so the show is based on, like, I play a character whose name is Joy. And it's like a hyper version of myself as an aerobics instructor and based on some actual anecdotes within my career.
And will people actually have to get up and do aerobics?
Well, no, not really.
I just wanted to check. People might be worried.
No. Look, Joy is one of those aerobics instructors that you kind of like really like, but you're also a little bit afraid of. You know those ones? But no, there's not a whole bunch of jumping around involved. Maybe just one little arm stretch every now and again.
So is it? I'm trying to get a feel for just what it'll be like in there. Will it feel a bit like you're watching a class happening, or?
So it's a mixture. So kind of like the show, it's like it's set in a class. Like it starts off as a class, I guess, and then you see like Joy's stories unfold, and so it kind of like darts between the class and then like a more theatrical way of telling each confession, if that makes sense. I mean, I've never experienced watching it myself except for watching it on video, but that's what most people say it kind of feels like, yeah.
Okay, and can you kind of give us a hint about some of the things that will be happening? Can you start a story and then people will have to come along and hear the end of it?
Oh, okay, yes, sure. So Joyce, the class starts off and it's a super high-intensity welcome, and Joy's kind of checking in with everyone and telling everyone about all of the qualifications and how great the class is going to be. And then someone in the audience, there's a letter that she receives from someone in the audience who says that they've been coming for 6 months and not getting any results. And so they think that they might go and do CrossFit. And Joy's not very happy about that and says that then it's time to take the lies out of Lycra and has various confessions that that she reveals. And I guess within that, it's like more and more layers of truth get peeled back until at the end, as the show goes on, you see like a lot of it is a facade and Joy's deeply human like everyone else and how complex like body image and diet culture and fitness and our stories about all of that sort of thing is. So although the show, like throughout the show, there's all of these ways in which the story is told through really fun songs and high energy choreography and storytelling with funny music underneath, there's also like a lot of heart that kind of comes through, and that's based on my story my experience with all of that.
It sounds like there's an element of therapy about it.
Yeah. Well, that's all art, I believe.
Well, yeah, you know? I guess so, yeah.
And it's quite interesting because, I made the show a few years ago and I keep on coming back to it, one, because, I have a bunch of shows, but this is the one that, like, it sells very well. It's very easy to market and often, like, I did it in Adelaide in Australia and then someone there saw it and was like, you have to bring it to Queensland. And then, you know, for ages I've had people saying, when are you going to bring this show to New Zealand? So it was actually going to be part of a 6-week tour that I was going to be doing with Auckland, going to Auckland and Hamilton Gardens Arts Festival and Score Festival. But because of the red light, it means that my Radlin show and I'm doing it in Whanganui as well. They're the only two that are still going to be happening.
Ah, it's tough at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm looking at your on your bio on your website and you do a lot of things.
I know.
I'm not sure if you don't seem old enough to be able to fit this many things into your life so far. So clearly comedy's not your day job, but how does that work? How does it evolve that you end up doing comedy after training to be a dancer?
Growing up, like, I was always, a bit of a clown. I'm really fortunate that my parents supported me to just perform as I wanted to. And I did drama, and I was in the Young New Zealand Shakespeare Company and all that sort of thing. And then I went to Melbourne, and I was working as a commercial dancer for a bit. And basically, like, I was enjoying it, but I was always still creating my own stuff. And I guess it would kind of sometimes err to the point of comedy. And basically, a lot of the work that I was then getting hired for, I was getting hired for my brain and for my ideas and for my creativity. And then a friend and someone who'd hired me for her work, she said she'd mentor me to make my own show. And I was just like, oh, okay, we'll see how that goes. And it was just a bunch of skits that I kind of made for my mates, making them laugh around the place. And I guess I kind of realized, like, I didn't want to be beholden to other people's decisions and ideas about how work was going to happen for me. So I just started creating my own through creating my own shows. And then I guess in terms of comedy, like, it's a timing and instinct thing that, like, has always kind of been with me, and it's not something that everyone can do, but it is also something that's quite appealing and something that I'm realizing more and more as I get older, because I'm also studying psychology and philosophy, is like a way of bringing, you know, these important messages about what it is to be human, or, you know, the struggles that we have in life, or different things. Like, comedy is such a way, it's a very digestible way to bring some pretty bold ideas to people, as well as being entertaining. So I guess that's kind of how it's evolved. I just enjoy making myself laugh sometimes, so that's what I do. And sometimes it doesn't work, you know, like you toss a whole bunch of balls in the air and hope that some of them are going to land, and then when they don't, you're just, oh, okay.
Right.
Oh, well, that made me laugh, so I'll try something else. Yeah.
So were you nervous? You must have been nervous the first time you did it, and performed to an audience.
Yeah. And I think this time round, I'll probably be nervous again because there's a bit more that I've changed a little bit more because, I guess I've evolved as the show's gone along, and there's some aspects which I've made a bit more, I don't know, you could say deep or punchy. Yeah, because I think that's one thing about comedy is, sometimes the power of things can be taken away from a message because then it switches to make a joke about it.
Yeah.
And that's something that we do as humans all the time, right? We make jokes about ourselves even when it's something that maybe is quite important, but we don't really want to actually say that it really matters. So, we make a joke about it. But, I think I will be a bit nervous.
But I mean, where I was going with that is, but then you discover, I guess you discover the rush of a successful performance.
Yeah. But one thing that I've really learned is that, to let the measure of success not necessarily always be applause and laughter, because not everyone's going to gel with it. I did the show for Adelaide Fringe Festival, which is a really big theatre festival in Adelaide, Australia, and I had all these other gigs as well as the evening shows in the theatre. One of them I was performing at Adelaide Airport, and people weren't hanging out to see comedy. They were just getting a coffee or a beer before their flight to the Gold Coast. So that audience did not care at all. I was performing to blank faces, people walking away, all that sort of thing. And, I definitely felt like a bit of a crazy person if I didn't have a microphone. But I let my measure, I kind of preset my, this is something that I've learned to, take care of myself mentally in this work, is I preset my expectation or my measure of success. And in that instance, I was I will feel successful. I will get a rush of good feeling if I can play and do it differently in this environment. I definitely do get a rush because it's a connection, and what I'm really, really grateful for is whenever people come up to me and say how the show actually, they loved it because it made them laugh, but also it really connected with aspects of them as well. That's really special.
I often ask people what their worst gig story is, and maybe we've just heard it, trying to perform to people at an airport.
Yeah, they did not get... Every 2 seconds there was a boo, 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 paging all passengers for Tipster. Yeah, I've had some pretty bad gig stories, costume malfunctions and speakers cut out, and I cut my foot really badly one time, yeah.
Why were you doing it?
Why was I doing the airport?
Yeah.
Adelaide Fringe Festival.
Oh, right.
They booked me for it. They paid me really good money and set it up. I was chosen because basically, the event is on, but then they wanted to kind of take performers to other areas. People would go to markets and wineries and stuff like that to kind of spread the fringe around the state as much as possible. Yeah, just to create a bit of buzz. Mm.
So, is a bad gig worth it if the money's all right? How does that work?
Yeah, so I like to talk about the artistic triangle of happiness, which is you've got, and it's quite good. I talk about this to freelancer mates, and it doesn't have to be for performance. So you've got good money, you've got good art, and then you've got good venue, good people on the 3 points of the triangle. And if you can fit two, then that's cool. And I mean, it sucks, that maybe money is the driver when something doesn't go that great. Oh, well, they paid me heaps of money and I don't get to fully express the deep meaning of the message. But then that means that you've got a bit more, a bit more budget to allow yourself to then do something else, which is maybe really good art and really cool people in an epic venue. Maybe it's for someone's party or something like that, but they're not going to pay you, but you still really want to do it because you know the crowd's going to be great, all of that sort of thing. So, yeah, it definitely, look, bad gigs feel a lot better when you're not being paid very much and you're having to, like, get changed behind a speaker and you're covered in stuff, which I have found myself in that situation before. So, yeah.
Right, okay. Hey, something you were talking before about how you got into it, and I actually, this is something I'd actually already written down, but I think it would be really interesting to see you do, you know, when you're at school and you have these careers evenings when you're, you know, 16 or 17, I'd love to see you be one of the people at a careers evening.
Oh, my God, it's so funny because I was ducks of my school and I was a real academic. I got, like, really good marks and was going to go to university, and there was a stage when I was even, like, when you go to that careers day, I was talking to the people in the police force, and I knew that this was maybe something that I wanted to do, but I wasn't, like, as set on it. It was only when I first left school and went to England and got to see some shows on the West End in London. But I think that would be pretty crack up for me to go back there, like, in my van and with my suitcase of props and be like, hey, kids.
You could go as Banana Jolie.
I could definitely go as Banana Jolie. Yeah, I actually would like to make more work to be done in the schools. At some point.
One of the things I picked out when you were describing that was, I think you wanted sort of more say in how your day went, basically more control over your work life.
Yeah.
And where we are here in Raglan, this town is full of people who've done that.
Yeah.
So, I think that sort of thing really resonates around here.
Yeah, I think it's pretty important, but it's also a balance, you know, like everything, because I don't know if people in Raglan have also found, and I've found this, is like when your passion becomes your paycheck, sometimes it stops being your passion anymore, eh?
Mm.
So, but yeah, I think it's, if possible, to be able to have some control and choose not just what you do, but also how, I think is quite important.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, here's a really serious question. The world, everyone's been, I don't know what it's been like over in Australia, but everyone's been very serious here lately, quite intense about COVID and mandates and vaccines and all of this. How badly do we need some comedy at the moment?
Oh, man. Yeah, I know. We do. We do. It's pretty funny because for me, you know, I did like heaps of lockdowns in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And like I was still feeling pretty okay. Like I was on my Instagram and stuff, I was doing little one-liner jokes and knock-knocks and silly things. And, you know, we've got people like Chris Parker and Tom Sainsbury, they're great Kiwi comics who basically the whole time with the pandemic have been putting out little nuggets of comedy, which have really made like my day. But then with the most recent red light, I found it really hard to actually be able to do any comedy. I felt pretty hit by it. I'd say, how badly does the world need it at the moment? Yeah, pretty badly. quite a lot, you know. It's an element of self-care, and it's an element of what binds us together, is to be able to laugh together and to be able to have that fellowship. And I think especially at this time when we've been, you know, for the last 2 years taught to be very wary and cautious of other people, it's pretty hard.
Yeah. Hey, folks, we're talking to Joanna, who is Banana Jolie, performing Confessions of an Aerobics Instructor Saturday and Sunday evenings at the Old School Arts Centre, and still some tickets. Where do people get tickets?
So it's on a website called Try Booking, and if you even just Google Confessions of an Aerobics Instructor Raglan, the link will come up. There's posters dotted around town, and there's a QR code on there. So if you see a poster, you can grab your phone and scan the QR code, which will take you straight there.
And for people who've just tuned in, are surprised to hear that we're talking comedy, because we've had quite a serious conversation. Just remind us again what the show's going to be like.
So it's I call it a cardio comedy cabaret. Which is high energy, it is colourful and fun, there's some banging music, there's original songs, there's great banter, and basically the show is, it gets your tummy sore from laughing and also touches your heart too.
Awesome. Hey, it's been a really fascinating interview actually this morning, Joanna, so thank you for that. And
I'm so glad, thank you.
Yeah, and hope you have a good weekend here in Raglan.